For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you. And welcome back to yet another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Told. We're on a nice little heater right now. We got lots of great guests in the last few weeks and more coming. But I'm really excited to bring you this conversation. We have Tom from No Trigger on the program, a band that rarely puts out albums. We talk all about that in here, but when they do, they're absolute bangers, and their new album, Dr. Album, is out now, and this thing absolutely slaps. If you like punk rock, if you like the band Pup, maybe, you might really like this album, so make sure you check that out, and this is a funny conversation. We talk about drugs a lot, so get ready for this. It's coming at you in just a couple minutes. Before we do get into that, I got a couple things to tell you about. My band, Silverstein, we are about to wrap up our tour, but there's still a couple shows left, and they're selling fast, so make sure you come out and see Silverstein with the Amity Affliction, Holding Absence, and Unity Texas. You can go over to silversteinmusic.com and pick up a ticket. And if you see me walking around the venue or outside or scooting around on one of those Lime scooters, stop me. Say hello. Say, Shane, I listened to the podcast. Thank you for talking to Tom and Winston and Steven and Jenna and whoever else I've had on the show lately. And I love that. I love to meet fans of the show. So it'd be great to see you. And if you can't make it, which is okay, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Maybe you want some bonus content. Maybe you want to meet some other people that are fans of the show and fans of underground music. And maybe, you know, get some sweet merchandise. Head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/all access for all of your Lead Singer Syndrome needs, I guess. And yeah, for as little as $6 a month, it gets you in, gets you the perks, and it does help me keep the show going and keep the lights on. Once again, that link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Well, let's get into it. Here it is, my conversation with Tom from No Trigger.
Hello, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom, it's Shane with the podcast.
What's up, Shane? How's it going?
Hey, man, really good. I'm stoked to be doing this.
Fuck yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound amazing.
Okay.
I'm in a weird spot with a weird internet connection. So if I lose you at any point, it's my bad. So I'll let you know if anything gets fucky over here.
Sounds good.
My dude, you just got back from Europe. How was that?
Yeah, man. 2 days ago. Europe was awesome. We were there for 3 weeks. It was kind of like this massive dice roll, though, because we've been to Europe. This is like our 8th Europe tour, mm-hmm. but this one we were all like fucking crazy because of COVID and like we didn't know and all this stuff, but we survived. We didn't miss a show. It was great. It was, none of us got, everything went pretty goddamn smooth. So, and the shows were awesome.
Yeah, some good ones in there. Punk Rock Holiday, obviously, an amazing festival. Tells Bells is a good one too, etc. So, what's it like? I mean, have you guys been doing any shows since COVID, or is this kind of the first foray, at least into a real tour?
Well, we did 3 shows in the spring just to kind of crack the get back into the swing and see what happened, see if anyone remembered us. but they went really well. We did Boston and Brooklyn and Chicago. And it was great. And that was just kind of just for fun, but this was real. And it couldn't have been better. But it's we're not the band that tours all the time anyway. Kind of, I don't know. That's kind of our MO.
Yeah.
Is like we just do it when it's convenient.
Right.
Bets Have No Trigger has operated for literally the entire time.
No, that's your thing. That is your MO. I mean, not only with touring and shows, but records too. So
that's exactly right.
Which is a pretty good segue into a part of the reason we're talking about the new album coming out August 26th, 10 days away from when we're speaking. It is called Doctor Album, and it is, I guess, just your third record after all these years.
Yeah, third full length. We've done a bunch of little things here and there, but to pull together a full length, it's a process, and takes a lot of time, a lot of mental energy, but the pandemic afforded us a lot of time and energy. So that's what we did. We just kind of hunkered down, and I think almost every band might have did the same thing. But
well, a lot of us old fuckers, and I don't know how old you are, Tom. How old are you?
I just turned 40.
Nice.
Which is pretty old in the scheme of things, but not, we're not dead yet. I'm the oldest also. Like everyone else is in the 30s, their 30s.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I figured we were around the same age. I'm 41.
Nice,
But yeah, congrats on 40. but, we've been at it a long time. We've seen the things come and go, and for you guys being a band now for, I don't know, close to 20 years, just 3 records. It's pretty wild. But also, it's just great that you guys are spending the time, even with responsibilities and everything, to put together a record that's as awesome as this album is, because it's definitely your best album.
Oh, you listened?
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been listening to it. I've been listening to it for a couple of days.
Oh, hell yeah. 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 Oh, it's different.
It's very different, but I welcome it because, it's funny, obviously, not to get too fanboy on you here or anything, but like when Canyoneer came out back in 06, I guess it was, I was like, who the fuck is this band? This record is awesome. And it seemed like you guys were never really around. Like, it was like this kind of enigma of a band because everybody else in 06 is like, pimping up their MySpace pages and trying to get, on Fuse or whatever. And here you guys are just like, doing what you want, touring when you want to. And then you didn't follow up the record till 2012. Also a great record. But here we are, a 10-year wait. And obviously things are going to change, and I welcome the change anyway, but this record is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you think it's fun. It was fun to make. I mean, there's one there's one real big reason why it might be very different from the rest. And it's because Shane, we wrote the entire record on LSD. No joke. Me and John, like, literally microdosed the entire record, right? Like, we wrote the whole thing just to do it. We're like, fuck it, you know? And I couldn't be happier with it. But it's definitely, yeah, it was like a whole nother world of creativity that was kind of like, you know, afforded us by doing, and I don't want to call it a drug. Let's just call it, you know,
a motivational substance.
It's like a tool. It's a tool.
Yes. 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 Okay. I mean, your press release says...
I don't
want to
get right into that. You know, you can obviously tell by the lyrics and stuff that things were happening. But it was a cool experience to do it like fully different. And we basically just were like, fuck everything. Let's just make a record that is exactly what we want to do. And we've never really done it. We always kind of like worried about, you know, like, will people like it? You
right.
know? But I think... Right. This time we didn't give a shit, and I think people will like it even more because of that.
Well, a couple things about that. So yes, in your press release it literally says this is the Sgt. Pepper's of punk, and then you said you did a bunch of drugs and got weird and made this record, which to me is almost does the record a disservice, because it almost makes it seem like this record isn't going to make any fucking sense. And who cares, right? But there's some really really well thought out points here, whether it's socially or politically, that you make on this record that are not like half-baked fucking hippie stoner ideas. This is like smart.
I agree.
It's a smart album. So when you say, man, like, oh, we took a bunch of drugs and whatever, that to me is almost like a defense mechanism on the record being different from your old stuff, for the people that are going to be like, well, whatever, his voice is clean. His voice sounds clean now. Like, he learned to sing. What happened? And the songs aren't as fast. And what's with the acoustic guitars or whatever? But like, I loved all that shit.
Awesome. No, you're right. I mean, it might be a defense mechanism a little bit. I mean, but it's true. You know what I mean? It's like, he did that. So I don't know. I'm glad you think it's smart. I mean, it was one of these records that we had unlimited amount of time to hone in the whole thing. We recorded it with Alan Day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From 4 Years Strong.
Of course, well, good
we
friend.
We recorded the meat of all the instruments, everything else. We did it with Nick Diener from the Swellers in Michigan.
Yep. Yep.
But at that time we only had 2 weeks, and we just kind of like laid down all the songs, but no vocals, no lyrics. I had what I thought I was going to do in place, but we had to go back to Massachusetts to finish it with Alan. But once we got there, that's when things like really went like, oh my God, we could go crazy with this because we have unlimited time and Alan's up for anything. So we just were like, fuck it, let's do it. And we finished most of it. And then I went to Switzerland for 3 months because my wife's from there. And over that 3 months, I had time to listen to it and redo it and listen to it and rethink it. And then we went back and re-recorded a bunch of shit that I wasn't 100% on. So that's why I think it's a more cohesive, smart record than the rest, because we had the chance to edit it.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you have like 3 weeks to record and that's it. What you get is what you get. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have been either on either side of the spectrum here.
Absolutely. And no, it is always nice to have that retooling, you know, and being able to go back and be like, maybe that song isn't as cool, or that like lyric is like a little, you know, whatever. And just minor things you can change that really make a difference. So let me ask you this though, when you were in Switzerland with your wife for 3 weeks, I assume visiting her family, 3 months. Shit. Okay. Well, were you on, were you on acid the whole time over there too?
No. I don't want to say we're on acid. The pandemic was crazy, man.
Right.
You know, like, it was just nuts. And we weren't like, it was mostly we were on acid for like the first part of it. Because it was like lockdown. So we're like, fuck it. You know? But anyway, yeah, it's, Yeah, it was really cool to have that ability to like redo it how we wanted to, especially me as like the main like lyric and, you know, just melody lyric guy. Mm-hmm. Not many other, you know, the rest of the band is amazing at writing the songs, but they don't put the melody and the lyrics to anything really. So I kind of have to like do all of that. And so I'm always self-conscious about it. You know, is it good enough? Blah, 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 as everyone would be. But this was just so sweet to be able to do it like that this time around, which was cool.
Absolutely.
I don't think we'll have that chance to do it like this ever again. Just timing wise with what happened where the world shut down for 2 years.
Well, we got monkeypox might help you out. I don't know. What's the next one going to be? You know, the only band that wants, the only band that wants another pandemic is No Trigger. You heard it here. Well, a couple cool things have happened, here. I really like that in your bio here that I got sent, there's actually a little talk of Sirius XM. Now that's not anything I'd ever think to put, you know, No Trigger and Sirius XM together, but a couple spins on a little bit of a, you know, mainstream source. That's different. How's that feel?
Yeah, well, it's fucking awesome. I mean, we're on Sirius Faction Punk. Mm-hmm. Our song Anti-Fantasy has been on there. It's been regularly spun for the last few weeks. And it's like the first place ever that No Trigger has been on the radio, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably
like that. But that song in particular is weird because it's fucking an anti-Nazi song. So it's like, and it's just like so fucking kind of like, it's like childish, but not, it's like, it's a juxtaposition between like poppy punk kind of like silly cartoony shit, but also the most serious topic you can get. And it's, I don't know. It's a weird one that, you know, to get on there, but I'm glad it's on there. You know,
what I loved about it, and it's the first track on the record for people that haven't checked out the record yet. And you should, it's out on August 26th. Probably out by the time you hear this. It reminded me a little bit of a throwback, like almost a modernized version of the Propagandhi song, The Only Good Fascist is a Dead Fascist. Do you know this song? Yeah. Swastikas and Klan robes. Yeah. And, you know, they say some very, you know, childish shit back at the Nazis in that song too, right? And I love that it kind of was like, well, I didn't love it in that the fact that we're still talking about this, because I believe that Propagandhi song came out in 1996. So that sucks.
Yeah. Still an issue. Yeah.
Still an issue, but I do like that you're touching on it and also like bringing it into a place where sometimes like, if you're too serious, it's like, no one cares, right? Like when you make it a little bit fun, you shed a little light on it in a different way. Yeah. It actually does something, you know?
That was the goal. You know, instead of making some like hard, angry song about, you know, the decline of American democracy, it's like, fuck it. Well, you know, and we even, I don't know if you saw the music, but there's a music video for it too. That is just as ridiculous. Yeah. It's like over the top, but.
Unfortunately, I didn't see that video. I'll have to check it out.
Problem.
But I did see the video for your other single, No Tattoos.
Yeah.
1 minute and 3 second banger. That's, you know, to quote Lifetime, and the single's way too short. But I absolutely love this song as well. And I also am one of those people, maybe it's our age, 40 and 41, I don't have visible tattoos either.
Nice.
And
visible.
Well, I have three shitty ones on my leg that I got in Germany, like just all dumb right. tour tattoos. But I'm not a tattoo guy either. And it is interesting how there seems to be some kind of disconnect, right? With either certain bands or areas or just like the times that we grew up. Cause when I was a kid, like nobody had any fucking tattoos, you know?
Yeah. No, I never got them. I just didn't get them.
Yeah.
My whole band has them. Everyone I know has them, like everyone, but no, I don't. And I was like, you know what? this is a song. And so I wrote that, but we just played Europe and we played No Tattoos every night in Europe. And man, that song fucking went over so well.
Yeah.
Cause I asked everyone, you know, I was like, okay, audience. I was just like, I got a personal question for you. Okay. who has no tattoos on their body? And then they'd be like, yeah, I got none. We'd get them all up to the front. And I'd be like, I got this song for us, man. And then I would tell the rest of the crowd that they're going to hell, you know? And then we'd start chanting, heaven, heaven, for the people going to heaven. It was fucking great. It was like this whole thing. So, yeah, I don't know. People ate it up. And it's only a minute long, so fucking...
Yeah, well, I got an idea. You're probably never going to get a tattoo at this point, especially now that you wrote that song.
I can't.
However, yeah. if you ever do get one, I've got a great tattoo idea for you.
Okay.
On your knuckles, Acid Lord.
Yeah.
It works perfectly, like, right? Four and four?
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, I mean, I might do it.
Yes.
It depends on how, yeah. I mean, Acid Lord, wait, is this a transition into Acid Lord?
It's not. No, we can talk about Acid if you want. We'll talk about all the drugs you want. But I just think it's not a great acid, the drug.
Acid Lord, the deity. The one that we conjured for the record. That's what we did. Acid Lord, the song, is about... the new God. I mean, I don't know. We went really out there on all ends, but I might get that on my knuckles, Shane. You never know.
Well, okay. If you don't like that one, if it's too out there, you could also get Euro Coke. that works really well. This is another new song on the record, kind of towards the end of the record. And now I don't know if I'm like looking way too into this, like if I just listen to this record too much and I'm like seeing things that aren't there, but this seems like, you know, after all the talk of the Nazis in your hometown and how the US school system is fucked up, is this a comment on kind of the idea that freedom only exists in America and that in Europe there is no freedom and you can't even drink a Coke except like, wait, you can? Is there like anything there, or am I completely reaching on this idea?
Well, I think Euro Coke is one of those songs where, like, my wife's from Switzerland. I spend a lot of time there. We're back and forth. We have two kids, mm-hmm. you know. So now I'm like in this like dad mode of like, well, America isn't the same place that I grew up in, you know, and Europe has it kind of figured out in a better way because they're just an older society. They've been through the problems that we're currently going through in the past. So they've kind of now have a better kind of social understanding of things that we might not. I feel like America is going through its own puberty here. You know, like we're about to find out what the fuck's going to happen to this place. Hmm. Maybe it's going to be good. Maybe it's going to be bad. But Euro Coke, it's kind of like more about like, it's like a love song for socialism, you know, I think it's like really what that is, or just like, maybe it's just my hoping that I get there eventually, you know, cause it's like, I'm just like so sick of the problems here, because you know, there's only so much you can do. Like, you know, how many songs can you write about it where nothing changes?
I don't know. No,
that's that to me. Like, there's Europe isn't perfect, but it's like better.
well, there you go. So, how did you meet your wife? Did you meet her on playing shows over there?
Well, she puts on a fest in Europe, in Switzerland. But I met her at Fest in Gainesville for the first time, like way, way back. And I just met her. I was friends with her friends and stuff like this. And then we met in at Grosrock in Belgium.
Yeah.
In like 2015, I was there not playing. No Trigger played Grosrock. I don't know when it was, but I went to the festival as a festival goer.
Yes, a punter, a punter, if you will. Yes.
Yeah, like we camped and everything. It was like crazy. Sick.
That's a great festival.
It was awesome. And but she was there, and I was like, "Hey, I know you." And then, rest is history.
Nice.
You know? So, yeah. Now she lives here with me.
Nice. Okay. So she took the American plunge.
yeah, we're married for 5 years now. Yeah. She's got her green card. Everything.
Nice, nice. Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
What do you do for, like, obviously, you know, you're a part-time band, you know, 3 records in almost 20 years. You're not touring all the time. What do you do for work? Is it hard to juggle, like, kind of like whatever your, you know, your professional work career is and going on the road?
No, I mean, I'm a real estate guy.
Okay.
And I've been doing real estate since 2007. And so real estate, it's like I sell houses, you know, and I was very good at it for years and years and years. I've kind of taken a step back a little bit to focus on the kids and stuff. But it was the perfect job to like be able to like just fuck off and go do what you want to do.
Totally.
You don't make money when you're gone, but the rest of the dudes are in similar boats. I mean, we're all flexible enough where we can pull it off. But we can't like, you know, go on tour forever, nor do we want to. Like, you know, it's not like we're like, oh fuck, we gotta keep going. We don't care. Like music is amazing, but it doesn't have to be everything. And no trigger is like, you know, I would say like, the size of our band is exactly what we always have been comfortable with. Like if we were bigger, it'd be like weird, but we're not. And it's probably because our songs aren't, you know, the best ever, but they're good enough to get us to where we're going to, you know, I think the new songs are good enough to make us, you know, go up to another level. We'll see. But like, even if that doesn't happen and probably won't, it doesn't matter. Like we're all just like punks. Right? Like we're just punks. We just do it because we like to do it. Really. That's the absolute truth. We don't make money with the band ever. Like, I think the only money we ever made, we went on tour with Set Your Goals in Europe for like 7 weeks once. And we made like 15 grand or something. And we're like, what the fuck? This is amazing. And then it just went straight to a van that died.
Right.
You know, we lost it all or something. You know, so it's like, you know, we just do it to have fun, really. And to like get our art out there. And that's it.
No, and I love that because I mean, you know, we're cut from the same cloth, you know, and that was the same thing when Silverstein got signed to Victory. Obviously it was a bigger label than Nitro too at the time.
Yes.
You know, and we said, okay, well, we'll quit our jobs and we'll do this. It was like, okay, we're going to do this for like probably like 2 to 3 years. We'll probably put out 1 or 2 records. We'll have a good time and then we'll go back to reality. You know, because that's what every punk band did. Like all my favorite bands, they hardcore bands, whatever, they put out 2 records and they broke up. And it was weird when I realized like, yeah, I think for us, I remember we were on tour with Strike Anywhere and we hadn't made a dime yet. And I kind of counted up the money and I realized that we'd paid our merch, we'd paid everybody, everything was ready and we had $7,000. In cash in a briefcase. Yep. We also carried it around in a silver briefcase. Like why? Like we weren't even trying to be inconspicuous, you know. And then I left it in a hotel room.
Nice.
But I got it back. Yeah. But I got it back. But totally my fault. But no, man.
You got to handcuff it to yourself, dude.
Right?
You know that was your problem.
Exactly. But
you
no,
gotta
I
go
mean,
full. But full, honest, full metal briefcase.
But no, like I think honestly though, man, I think the difference between, you know, your guys' band and some of the other bands that have kind of maintained it, you know, if you want to look at somebody like maybe Rise Against is a bad example because they're obviously like incredible and they signed to a major label and everything. But, you know, I think
never heard of them.
I think a big part of it is just that you guys were always this sort of part-time band. You weren't really around, like, you know, you were on a smaller label. You know, you weren't like you. I think you did do a couple Warped Tours or some shows on Warped Tour, but you never did the like.
Yeah.
You never got a NoFX tour, or you know, you didn't put a record out on Fat Records or whatever. Like at that time, you had to do to be kind of the forefront of punk. You were always this like everyone likes your band. What is the quote on your Instagram? No trigger fucking sucks. No one like it's you know it's true, but at the same time. You really have to be in people's faces, I think, and you just never were.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. I mean, we did tour off of Canyoneer for like 2 years, like pretty, we tried it. Like you said you did. It was like, all right, let's do this. We went through some lineup shit, but we pulled it together.
Yeah.
You know, like some dudes couldn't do it, but we got new dudes to do it, you know, and we did it. But, you know, we went to Japan and shit twice.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, it was just like one of those things. We did all the things. And yeah. And it was just like, well, all right, you know, let's get a job. And then that's what I did. I read a book on real estate on tour, like investing in real estate. And then I did it. I was just like, oh, fuck it. I'll do it. And then, it worked out really well, but, and that afforded us to be able to do things as we went, you know, like, but we didn't put out any records or anything. It was just like, you know, we kind of milked Canyoneer for a while, put out Tycoon, then did a couple things, then, you know, we just kept on kind of like birthing the band over, you know, we never broke up ever.
Yeah.
But it was just like, we just fucking stopped for a bit, do our thing and, you know, pick it back up. And it's fine. I mean, it's totally crazy fine. Because like, you know, it's all fucking, you guys are a big band, you know, 4 years strong, another one, you know, they're good, really good friends of ours.
Yeah.
You know, they can do it for real as a job. And so can you. And, but you know, us, like it was just, wow, we'll fucking do it for fun. And that's what we're going to do. And
right. Alan does have the tree farm. You know, I got the podcast. We got a couple, you know, there's always a little side hustle here and there.
Three trees off of Alan over the years.
Nice. I love that. That guy's a fucking angel.
Yeah, he is.
Well, dude, you got a lot of things coming up. Some pretty, pretty big shit. I mean, you got Riot Fest in Chicago. Obviously it's one of the best, punk rock centric festivals in the world.
You're doing
one of the Punk and Drublics with NoFX, etc. And then, of course, yep. The Fest, which is, I guess, pretty cool. If that's where you met your wife, you must have some pretty cool memories about that.
We've down played in so many too. Fests. Have you guys ever played Fest?
I don't think so, right? I don't think we're punk enough. I think we're just like a couple steps away, you know?
1 degree off
a little
it's
something.
It's like literally 1 degree though. Like you're close.
Yeah, we toured with Hot Water Music. They're good friends of ours. Like Chris Cresswell's a good friend of mine, you know?
Just with him.
Yeah, you know, well, we've done stuff. I mean, I don't know, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
No, yeah. It is a specific thing.
Yeah.
Fest is very specific, you know, no idea, whatever kind of thing. So, but yeah, we've played it like, I think this will be our ninth fest that we've played.
Nice.
So it'll be cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're just waiting for that Silverstein tour offer, Shane. It's just going to be, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Hey man,
everyone.
I think you guys with us in Europe would be amazing. I mean, honestly, it's weird in Europe. I think we're a punk band over there, you know?
Yeah. Like, Europe's a whole different place.
Yeah.
It's we just got back from it. It's amazing still. Punk is, you know, maybe on its way out everywhere. Who fucking knows? But, you know, it's still kicking there though.
Well,
which is cool.
Well, I mean, punk rock is still really big in Canada. Like that, you know, the 90s Fat Records, skate punk, whatever you want to call it. It's very popular in Canada and it's very popular in Quebec specifically. You guys must go up there pretty often too.
Well, we're friends with the band Mute from Quebec.
Yeah.
We even toured South America with them. And so like we just played their 20th anniversary up in Quebec City. Well, not just like, I think it was like 2018 now, but fucking the most incredible Quebec show we've ever played.
Awesome.
And then we play like Pooza Fest in Montreal and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, in no trigger fashion, like we don't tour there. We'll go up there if we get asked, we go. Is kind of the
thing.
It's
not even that far from Massachusetts. It's like closer.
No.
You probably live closer to Montreal than I do. And I'm in Toronto area, so it's probably closer.
Yeah, it's like six hours.
Okay, about the same.
Yeah, where we are, but yeah, man. I don't know. We now have some reason to do stuff with the new record. So, and it's on Red Scare. Toby is amazing. You know, he's got, the roster is awesome. There's a lot of steam behind it. You know, a lot of people are liking it. So we'll see what we can do. you know, but with like the families and stuff, you know how it goes. It's like, you just got to play it by ear.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope to see you on tour with Pup next year or something like that. You know, that would make sense.
Yeah. It'd be sick.
Yeah. No, I really hope, you guys can, you know, make a run of this thing. And I do encourage everybody listening to this to not sleep on the new record, Dr. Album from No Trigger. Dr. Album is an interesting title. Is there a story behind that?
Oh man. I mean, we were like in a group chat, like literally early 2020, like this is two years ago now. And it's like talking about things, and Tom, our bass player, I think we're all like smoking weed too. We were just like late night, you know, and he was just like, he's made a bunch of jokes. And then one of the things that just popped out was Dr. Album. And we all were like, oh my God. Like,
it's really good.
Imagine, you know, like imagine if we did that, you know. And then I don't know, it just makes a lot of sense, because like it's like the Dr. Album is like, you know, the highest honor of an album. And it kind of like is like the album itself is like a person. Like it's a being. I don't know. It is what it is, man. We love the name. And then like, yeah, Comeback Kid. We just played a couple fests with Comeback Kid.
Oh, I love them. Some of our best friends.
Dr. Album, you guys? Like, really? Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, thanks for this. Thanks for talking to me. Anything else to tell the people before I let you get back to, I don't know, being a real estate tycoon? Is that what the tycoon title is? Is that about you?
It's kind of like, yeah, a play on like, where the fuck do we stand? You know, like, yeah, it was like Tycoon, the record. Yeah. It was like, what am I? What is anything? But I don't know. We got the record coming out. But other than that, we got some shows coming up, but, I don't think I have anything else. That's, you're very good at interviewing and kind of putting it all out there. So I think you did it.
Yeah. And I did it in just 32 minutes. Usually it takes me like an hour to get all that out. So, we were nice and concise, Tom. We did a good job.
Sweet.
Now, like, you know, you can get on with your day. I don't know. You're probably just going to go do acid. Let's be honest.
No, I'm not. I actually haven't until this last tour. I hadn't done acid since like last summer. Like it was really just for the writing process. We just like really dove in, but then I took a big break. But so, we just did it at Tells Bells Festival.
There you go.
The other day, and oh boy,
like before you play.
We had a day off right before it.
Okay.
So we hung out with like Flatliners and Lagwagon and shit when they play and Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah.
And we all just kind of did a bunch, and it was very enjoyable.
Those are all my people. I love to hear.
Yeah,
it.
Man.
I've never done acid. Do you think I should try it? What do I do? How do I do it? Am I going
to
die?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you, is how to do acid. So yeah, so listen, tell the people. Listen up, everyone. So here's the thing. It's all about the dose, and it couldn't be more true. So you don't want to take a bunch. You don't want to just like go for it the first time. You want to ease in. And what I would suggest, and this is my guide to microdosing. Microdose is just a tiny bit, just to kind of turn the brain on a little bit. But you could still like potentially do everything you do in your day. You know, drive around.
Maybe don't do that.
You don't have
let's
to.
Let's just say
you
can not, do everything. Let's just for the record say don't do that. Don't take acid and drive.
You should operate heavy machinery. I mean, it's totally fine. You know, get a combine. No,
don't do it.
No, but okay. You just take like one acid tab is like 100 micrograms. One tab, you cut it into like, you know, 12 to 15 pieces, just little tiny chunks.
Oh boy.
And take one of those. Just take one of those little chunks, you know, and on a day off when you have no real responsibility, and you just kind of see what it does. And then you can up it from there, you know. But, you know, the difference between a tiny chunk of one tab, and like two tabs is a fucking universe. So, you know, between that and there, you know, you just want to figure out where you're at, but start small. And everyone who's done it, unless you're a schizophrenic, usually has a very good experience in it, you know, sometimes life-changing. So that's okay. All I can say.
Okay. Well, there it is. A little drug advice on lead singer syndrome. We don't always talk about the drugs. We don't talk about the sex very much at all. It's mostly the rock and roll, but a little bit of drug talk is very welcome. Finally. Yes. So, Tom, dude, thank you again for all this. I want to play a track, from the record. By the time this comes out, the whole record will be out. So yep. do you have a favorite, or something I can play, for the people?
So, I would say, what's the one? I would say the song to play that is very different, but it has a good vibe. And it's like, it's basically, it's as far out as it gets but still being No Trigger, is the song Too High to Die.
Yes. I like that one.
I would say play Too High to Die, and that'll give you a sense of how far we can kind of push the limit.
It's right on brand for this conversation. So I love it.
Yes.
Tom, thank you so much, man. Here it is. Too High to Die, No Trigger, from the new album, Dr. Album, right here on Lead Singer Syndrome.
What's the point of all of this? I have nothing to contribute. I'm not gonna raise my hand. You can call on me when I am dead. I don't know which way I'm going. Ghost riding on my bike. Effortless yet constant motion. Too high to die. Where did all the water in my body go?
And there is new music from No Trigger. This new album is fantastic. A little bit different from their old stuff, of course. You know, people evolve, things evolve. But I think their most fun album for sure, and probably the most intricate, a lot going on. And I find myself I have this album on repeat right now. It is tremendous. So make sure you pick it up. Get a vinyl copy, maybe. You know, that's what you need. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. I want to thank Tom so much for coming on the program. And I want to thank you for listening to this, wherever you are. If you're in your office or your car or riding a bike or taking a walk or just laying in bed, wherever you are, thank you so much. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button as well. We got lots of stuff coming at you in the coming weeks. And of course, don't forget about The New Noise. Every week, me and music guru Mike Howell, we talk about all of the awesome new music coming out. We review it, and there's always stuff on there that you probably don't know about because Mike digs deep. This isn't just the, you know, 5, 6, 7 most popular releases coming out. A lot of times, there's some really obscure stuff, and you might be the first to know about it. So make sure you don't skip those New Noise episodes. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and I will see you next week.